the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. Continuing his thoughts inspired by horticulture, in this recording Dave looks into abiding. The main reading is John chapter 15.
So, the last few months we've been looking at our plants, our seed, soil, growing, being fruitful. That's obviously evidence that we are born again, bearing fruit. Natural process of a plant is to bear fruit, and what the Lord is doing in us. And there's a word there we'll cover tonight, is because we talked about being rooted, being planted, foundation. And this word here, abiding, which is an interesting word, which carries a lot of shades of meaning. But really, it's all to do with constancy, consistency, and oh dear me, we don't see much of that in the world today, do we? Constancy and consistency, continuous, dependent, constant, a reliance, persistent, receiving, appropriation, all down to really dependence. That's what, if you want a word to describe it, dependence. And dependence is really the essence of faith, is knowing that we need the Lord in everything. As soon as we don't think we need him, as soon as we do it on our own, ourselves, we'll see in a moment we're in trouble. And that's why Paul, who was very capable, had to have much difficulty. He had to have a thorn in the flesh, because left to himself, he thought he could do it on his own. Because he was capable, wasn't he? They tell us, historically tell us, great intellect and his writings and all that. So he had to have that. He said, Lord, I've had enough of this. But he said, you need it. You need it to make sure you're looking to me, you're praying to me, you depend on me. My grace is sufficient for you. So God is into doing that and keeping us looking, longing, staying in him. Tozer said, I guess my philosophy is this, everything is wrong until God sets it right. And that's in him. J.C. Ryan, great bishop from many years ago, abiding in Christ, he said, is a habit of constant close communion with him. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Constant close communion with him. One thing, first of all, we must understand is that we are, Christ is in us. There's a lovely word, it pops up right through the New Testament. We are in him. It's a great, we are in him. And so powerful that, and again, to keep our minds on that we are in Christ. Hallelujah. Of course, he is in us. That's, again, that's sort of the metaphor for us to understand. John 14, 21, 23, sorry.
He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him.
Can we, I'm going to mention that Sunday, didn't I? The word there, loving, keep. When we love him, we'll keep his covenant. We'll watch over them. We'll look after them. We will make sure they're valuable and protected. And he said, those people I'll come and make my abode. Lovely word. Same word, abide, abode. We'll make our home with him. We will rest and remain and reside with him. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants to reside in us and rest in us. But of course, there's that God's purpose, God's provision, but our participation, isn't it? Depending on what bent of thinking here, but ultimately, unless we don't allow the Lord and work out that which Christ works in us, it's not going to work. And that's why we'll go in a minute and see how we abide, how we do that. But in Christ, Ephesians 2, 8 to 13.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, you are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at any time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Again, did you catch it? We are created in Christ to do good works. Then he just said, right, the last verse we read, you were outside, the outside of the commonwealth of Israel. You were aliens and strangers, but now in Christ, in him, you've been brought near and washed in the blood. So it's in him. And that's always, again, to remind us of nothing to do with you. That's all you did was receive. All you did was say yes. Hallelujah. It's all about him. It's all of him. He's done the work. And he wants to do a work in you. What do we do? We say, have your way, Lord. Yeah. We open ourselves up. We continue. And we see to abide in him. If we abide in him, all those things will happen. We just read it. Bear fruit. More fruit. Much fruit. Lasting fruit, of course. Answered prayer. God is glorified. People see that we are his disciples. And so on. We'll maybe cover some of those. But ultimately, he said, if you don't abide, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Nothing will be achieved. The word there, to do nothing, is to make, to employ, to achieve nothing. Nothing will happen unless we're in him. And of course, he says there, you will wither. And when you wither, you dies. Interesting, he says, I am the true vine. Of course, Israel was described as a vine in the Old Testament. And Jesus obviously is fulfilling that. But there is counterfeit. Remember, as we get closer to the return of the Lord, much counterfeit will rise. He says, people will come in my name and say, I am this, I am that. And cults have just risen up, haven't they? And even cults within churches, be careful. It's amazing how easily diverted people can be. And we've got to be careful there. So make sure we're part of the true vine. Not that which is false and counterfeit. And stay in him, abide in him. Right, how do we do that? Because we understand the word, but there must be a way to do that. How do we stay, abide, remain, rest, continually receive of him? First one, John 6.
Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your father ate the manna and heart eat. He who eats this bread will live forever.
Amen. Now, well, there's where we abide. And of course, people have taken that and said that's to do with communion. Now, Jesus is not talking about communion at all there. He's not even referencing it. Obviously, these are metaphors because, in fact, he tells us that. He said these words, verse 63, same chapter, just a few words on. He said these words are spiritual, not literal. What he's saying is absolute surrendering. Without him, we can have nothing. We've got to have all of him, all that he's purchased, receiving all of him, all that he's done by faith, total surrender, absolutely enter in. That's baptism is so important because we are just showing we're entering into his death, we're dying to ourselves, and we're receiving all that he has. That's what he's talking about. And so in our uppermost, in our mind is, Lord, we need you. In every area, absolutely surrendered you, everything you've done and purchased, that's what I need. And of course we show that by our lives, and we show by the time we spend with him. Lord, we need a decision. Lord, I want you. What do you think? Lord, I want your word. I need you to lead me today. I need to be in your word. I need to be in your presence. And absolutely, totally surrendered to him. There's our first one. How he said, if you eat of this, you abide in me and I abide in you. 1 John 2:3-6.
And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked.
There we are. Abiding. How do we abide? We walk as Jesus walked. Again, how do we know Jesus walked? Well, we need to get into the word, and we need to see this is what Jesus would. Of course, remember those little armbands he used to wear in WWJD? What would Jesus do? Great question. I mean, they were just ornaments sometimes, weren't they? But a great question to ask. Lord, what, I'm walking your way. Because I abide in you, I'm walking as you did. Follow us. Jesus, what did he say? Follow me. Follow me, didn't he?
Go an extra mile.
Yeah, absolutely. So follow me. Walk as he walked. And then we'll abide in him. We'll be staying in him because we have to ask, Lord, what do you think? Which way am I going to go here? And then we're dependent upon him. We're trying to hear from him. We are listening to him. 1 John 3:23-24.
And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us.
Yeah, so there we are. How do we know we abide? Keeping his word. Keeping his word, we'll stay in him. Why? Because that's the most important thing in our lives. That's our priority. Because we're in him, we say, Lord, what are you saying? What do you want? And that word again, keep, is obviously to obey, but it means to watch over, to make sure that nothing slips in. Isn't it amazing how we are quite casual sometimes with our lives and with our decisions and with sin sometimes? Oh, it isn't that bad. It's a little sin, isn't it? We fall into that trap, a little white lie. Or and again, what did the Bible say? Those little foxes get in and they cause the damage. So be very rigorous. That's why you say, watch over the word. Those who abide in me will watch. And if you watch over your word, you will abide in me. You will stay in me. 1 John 4:11-16.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfect in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him.
Again, number of ways about abiding there. First of all, how do we know we abide in him? Holy Spirit's within us. And the Bible says his Spirit testifies with my spirit. Sometimes I can't put a finger on it, but I know, because the Lord is saying, Lord, you're my child. And whatever comes our way, there's a testifying the Holy Spirit. Then we know we're abiding in him. Next one there is, we abide in him when we confess him. Confess him means not just to acknowledge, not just to assent or consent, but to speak the same. It means to speak the same as to actually agree with a verdict. And we agree in who Jesus is. We're also agreeing with what he says. And that's wonderful because, again, we know we abide in him, and when we abide in him, we'll do it. And when we do it, we abide in him. There's that sort of reciprocal response there. And that's always the key, isn't it? Who Jesus is. is the key to a cult, of course. It's a key to someone who's really knowing the Lord. Do you know who Jesus is? And then, who do people say that I am? Hallelujah. And then, of course, the question will be, when people stand, well, what have you done with it? What have we done with Jesus? What should we do with Jesus? And many people who believed in him up there and can say who he is, that's not the bottom line, is it? One who says the same thing and follows him and walks with him and puts there and abides in him. Those who abide in the vine. What does that mean? Our life, our health, our growth, our fruit is because of him. Outside of him, we cannot produce a thing. And of course, he says, then we abide in his love. There's a beauty about our lives. Oh, Lord, not always we know, but there's change, there's transformation. Why? Because his love has been poured into us that can be poured out to those unlovely people. And as we said before, God will bring unlovely people across our path. Just to show you that there's a bit more to be done in you, isn't there? what do you say? Is my husband a wife? Well, that may well be, but that's how it goes sometimes. you put your colours to the mast. You've got to work it through and work it out. Abiding in his love. 1 John 3, 5 to 10.
And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother.
Because we are connected to the vine, we should obviously see what kind of fruit is going to come from it. We understand that. And he says there, and we mentioned last week, a tree can't bear bad fruit. Bad tree can't bear good fruit, and good tree can't bear bad fruit. And we said, well, wait a minute now. And we looked at bad fruit last week, and we say, well, some bad fruit that crops up in our life. But again, we looked at the tenses. A good tree, cannot persistently and continuously produce bad fruit. It's impossible. And again, the same principle here, he's saying, someone who abides in the Lord cannot sin. Now, we're thinking, ooh, it's a great challenge because it challenges our hearts and lives. Again, is he contradicting himself? Because in chapter 1 he says, if anyone sins, I confess his sin, he's faithful and just, we have an advocate before the Father. But again, he explains it because if you read around, he uses that word practice, isn't he? There's a difference. Not that he sins, but he practices sin. There's a persistent, deliberate, continuous, habitual something in their life that is there. They don't feel any shame. They don't feel any guilt. And they persistently do it. Glory be. And so he's saying very clearly, look, you can't. And he's challenging. Look at your life. If you're abiding in him, trip up, absolutely. Some of that fruit, you've got to be cut off. He'll take it away, wouldn't he? Take it off us. But persistent, consistent sin. And I tell you, that bothers me because in the church today, we have people living in sin, as we know, but obviously living in sin and other sin. And persistently. And they don't seem to be ashamed. There's no willingness to change. I'm thinking, dear. Now, we don't cast a stone, but if there's no willingness to change, there's no shame and no guilt, no confession, then we've got to ask ourselves, are we abiding in Christ? Because, you know, all of us who walk with the Lord, when we do sin, dear me, the devil has a field day with us. He pours guilt and shame upon us. Why? Because we know we've sinned. That's why we confess, of course, back to chapter 1. But there he is, persistent, deliberate, continuous practicing of sin. We're not abiding in him. When we abide in him, there's change, there's transformation, there's purity, there's holiness. Oh, Lord, help us. How about this one? 2 John. Again, he's pursuing the same line of thought. 2 John 8 and 9.
Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son.
Again, explained to us, and of course the background was deceivers coming in. Be careful, they come in and deceive, and of course the devil hasn't changed, deceiving doctrines and trying to divert people and take their mind off and not seeing who God really is, or Jesus, who really, I think the real debate then was who Jesus really was. Was he fully God and fully man? Well, he couldn't be, could he? Perhaps he was part this and part that, and that was the argument. He said, be careful, watch yourself now, he said, because you don't want to lose that which you have invested in. And that's why we need to stay abiding in, because when we lose connection, we wither. And that which has been fruitful will die. And so he said, be careful that you don't lose what you've invested. And then he says, interesting word, is the word transgress. Others says they go beyond, because transgress means to go beyond what the Lord has said, isn't it? The Lord has said, no, this is the line. And because we think we know better than the Lord, we transgress. It's another word for sin, but it means to step over and go in further than God has said or God has pronounced. And he said, don't you go further than I've said. And we be careful there, can't we? Oh dear. But stay abiding in the doctrine, the instruction, the teaching of Christ. Who he is, what he said, what he wants. Don't go beyond that. And the Bible warns us about that, doesn't he? And it's amazing how we can get hold of something. I was listening to someone today, one of those prosperity teachers, and he took something and I thought, that's not how you interpret that at all. But because of his thinking, his bent that everything had to be prosperity. Now we're not talking about God's prosperity, because God's prosperity, he wants us to prosper. Their idea of prosperity is wealth. And everything is going to go wonderful, you never get any trouble. Again, I don't know where that's from. But of course, if that's the way you think all the time, that you've gone beyond what the Lord has said, and you interpret everything like that, instead of John Wesley said, let the word speak to you. Let the word speak to you. What is it saying? Is it clear? Is it, you know, is it saying what it's saying? Or is he's using pictures and metaphors? Someone said, do we take it literally? No, we take it seriously. Because sometimes it isn't literal, is it? Because he's using pictures and ideas to tell us. But ultimately, he said, be careful. Be careful you don't lose that which you invested in. Don't go beyond. But let the word have its effect. Let the word have its way. Because without him, we can do nothing. It was Luther who said, Lord, use me as an instrument, but don't forsake me, for if ever I shall be on my own, I would easily wreck it all. I thought, that's a good one. Left to myself, and again, Luther, I just read a nice little book, 60 pages, about my DAP, a testimony of Luther. Again, highly intelligent, capable. Yeah. But it was a monk, went down to Rome, saw the corruption of Rome and the Catholic Church, and that's where it started. This isn't according to what I read, he said, and that's where he started the Reformation, by faith in the Lord, not in all these other things. And of course they were selling indulgences to buy your way out and purchase, and some were making a real mint out of it. But again, don't leave me on my own. Understood, without him we can do nothing, we are nothing. But his word. John 8, 31, 32.
Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
There's a freedom, the liberty. And of course, now we're going into that place where Jesus says, my Father's a gardener. Anything that doesn't bear fruit, out he comes. Anything that does bear fruit, he's pruning, isn't he? Because he wants greater fruit. And prune there means to cleanse. Means that word cleanse, to root out. Because there's stuff in our life that, even though it's bearing fruit, could be better. Could be better. And this is the time, if you're any gardener, I'll give you gardening tips. This is round about the time where you cut your trees back. Autumn and spring, isn't it? Generally end of autumn. I got a tree at the front, a couple of trees at the front, I need to hammer back. Jackie won't be impressed, but they need to come down. But you know what? I remember where I did many, many years ago. Oh, well, you killed him, you killed him. I said, look, I know what I'm doing. I had a chat to a mum. What a chat to Percy Thrower, for some of you older people. And that you've got to cut it back. When you cut it back, it, of course, that's how it works, isn't it? It's amazing. We think it's, you know, no, don't be soft. Don't be that, you know, counterintuitive. But no, you cut it back and it bears fruit. Why? Because all the dead stuff is gone and life comes in. And that's what he wants. And now he says to those who believe. Now, in the same chapter, he says to the Pharisees, the word isn't in you. The word doesn't abide in you. And because the word doesn't abide, you don't believe in me. Mm-hmm. And he says, you search the scriptures, yet you will not come to me because you're unwilling. Mm-hmm. And that's the bottom line. When the word settles, abides in us, it begins to have an effect. It begins to have a releasing effect. Here it says there, anyone who is my disciple knows the truth. And the truth will, what does it do? Set you free. Liberty, freedom, restraint gone, obligation gone. It's the principle of redemption. Remember the redemption? Principle of redemption is where God goes into the slave market, doesn't he? And he purchases us out of the slave market. What are we slave to? Sin. Ourselves. The flesh. We are slaves. Doesn't matter if you can be as good as ever. You will trip up and fall every time. But he buys us out and he releases. And that's the idea. The word of the Lord does that. It brings release. Especially as we meditate on it. We allow it to filter and to rest in our hearts. Because he's in the process of pruning us, cleaning us, when we abide, and if he's not doing a work in you, if there's not a bit of shaking in your life, there's not a bit of difficulty in your life, again, just make sure you're abiding in him, because when you're abiding, he's pruning, isn't he? He's pruning. It's always something he's doing. Why? Because we're not finished articles. We wish we were. There's much to be done. Here we are. His word. Titus 2, 11 to 14.
The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works.
Bless the Lord. Grace, salvation, that salvation then comes into life. What does it do? Deny me, my selfish lusts. All the, it teaches that. And again, that's another fruit, isn't it? Another fruit of knowing him. The things we thought were okay before, no, not so much now. Things we thought, oh, I can go ahead and do that, no, not anymore. And ultimately, our mind is, again, looking for his return, second coming. That, again, keeps us. Remember, they used to say, what if the Lord came tonight and he were in a certain place or doing a certain thing? And that would keep a fear, wouldn't it? But there's nothing wrong with a bit of, soberness, fear. Fear of the Lord, reverence of him. He is with us all the time, isn't he? He is with us all the time. And he is watching what we do and say. He's redeemed us. He's released us to purify. To purify. His work is to cleanse us, to purify us. So what? His people are his own people, a special people, a unique people. Amazing that God can take all of a life that's ruined by sin and transform it. Amazing, isn't it? And sometimes, you know, when we were young, I haven't got a great testimony because I haven't been that bad. But the great testimony is you didn't have to be that bad. You were saved from it, not out of it.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful thing. Because if you talk to people who went through it, they would rather have not gone through it.
Yeah.
Because it you know, the Lord's redeemed them and saved them. But let me tell you, some scars left, isn't there? Some scars left of that lifestyle, whatever lifestyle they had. So he's redeemed us. He's purifying us out of that. And that's what he longs to do. Holy Spirit is with us. His word, he takes all of his word to convict, to convert, to change us. Hallelujah. Remember when we talked about purifying and we talked about spring clean when we talk in Palm Sunday. And those things that polluted the temple, of course, they were idols, and they were foreigners that shouldn't have been in the temple. But one of them from Zephaniah was that interesting, they pollute the temple by doing violence to my word. To those who maltreated or wronged or imagined wrongfully or shook off the word of God. When we treat God's word lightly, then we're in trouble. It pollutes the temple. That's why he said, Lord, I watch over those who tremble at my word. Now, again, most of us have been in church long enough, we can be careful because we know God's word. Of course, we read it daily, but oh, not to treat it that lightly, because it's still God's word. If we want to know what God thinks, God speaks, it's there, it's right in front of us. And when we mistreat his word, when we do violence to the Lord, we pollute our lives, of course, and we belittle the work of God in us. James 4, 6 to 10.
But he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. You double-minded, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up.
There's that interesting combination there when we talk about Jesus, the Lord giving us a new heart, and the Lord giving us a soft heart and circumcising our heart. But then there's that balance where he says, clean your heart, circumcise your own heart. There's that participation where God has given us the tools to make ourselves clean. And then he says there, now, cleanse yourself. Dependence on God, again, it comes down to don't be boastful, be humble. When we're humble, we see our need. We're still poor in spirit. Without him, we're lost. Then, because we draw near. There's the thing. When we draw near, we see our need of continual cleansing. Cleanse your hands. What are you doing? What are you doing, Dave? Cleanse those hands. What are you doing? Where's your heart? Sanctify. Purify your heart means separate your heart. And then we have you double-minded. That's what he's trying to say. Don't be two hearts. Your heart is yearning. Your heart is, no, give me, sanctify your hearts. And so there's that combination of the Lord telling us, enabling us, staying in him, but then asking us to do things and to work it out. What have I got here? What we often wait for God to do for us, he wants to do through us. Because although he tells us to do something, we've got to put that into action. We've got to, go spend time with him. We've got to bite our tongue sometimes. We've got to go this and do that and stop that and put that into place. God can't do that for us. He tells us, he gives us the ability to do that, but then we have to say, right, Lord, okay, this is what you've told me, this is what I've got to do. And there's where our will comes in. And there's always their big problem, isn't it? So continuing in him. And as we said before, everything the Lord asks us to do, everything in Christianity, because it's relationship, is always in a continuous tense. Believe? Absolutely, but I go on believing. Repent? Yes, but I go on repenting. Confess? Yeah, but the tense is I go on confessing because there's plenty of things to confess. And there's that persistence, and that's what abiding, the idea is continual. Dependence, reliance, persistence, all those things, constancy, faithfulness, bless the Lord. And lots of things he tells us in him, of course, but then the metaphors in his word, because he is the word, in his love, he is love, in his grace, well, hallelujah, continuing the faith, continuing the kindness. What the Bible says, consider the kindness and severity of God, severity of those who fell, but kindness to you, if you continue, if you abide in my kindness. So our last verse, Colossians 1.
Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. and of which I, Paul, have become a servant.
Continue. This is what the Lord has done. He saved you. He's purchased. Everything is done. Now continue in that. Not just continue it, be grounded in it. It's a great word, that, grounded in it. Steadfast. Be firm, be settled. Be settled in it. And again, the word is immovable. Hallelujah. We're not going to move from this. Why? Because there's no other way. We can't move from the Lord, otherwise there's no fruit. If we move from the Lord, we are going to die. We're going to wither away. And that which was wonderful and our salvation, it will become tainted, we become dark, and sadly we've seen people who've been disconnected, haven't we? And they've withered away. We've seen it in our front of our eyes, they're withering away. And sometimes it isn't a dramatic thing, is it? Steadily, until they're far from the Lord. And that's sad, and the Lord doesn't want that to happen, does he? So that's why he continues, encourages us, stay in me, abide in me, rest in me, remain in me, and the fruit will blossom, and those prayers will be answered. Why? Because you're in me, and you'll be asking according to what I think, what I want. Wonderful. So tonight, abiding in him, staying in him, his word, walking with him, keeping his word, surrendering to him, allowing everything that he has for us to pervade and run over our lives. Hallelujah. Bless him. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.